Normally, whenever I, at least this is how it's been for me, anytime that I hear a sermon, for the majority of the time, very rarely is his final point and main point what I walk away with. Yes, I listen to it. Yes, I get his point. But I often pick up other little things. And to me, that's sort of the driving point that I walk away with. And I can just give testimony to the Lord that that's the Spirit of God just speaking to me in specific ways. And so I've got a couple of landing points that we'll end with, but my prayer is that the Spirit would speak to you sort of throughout this entire message, and that he would speak to you directly and specifically about what's going on with you and where it lands home with you. But our culture has shifted from, at one point, John 3:16 being the probably most popular and most quoted passage. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, and whoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life, having eternal life." And so we've sort of shifted from where that verse, where that was once quoted very often. What we hear more and more now is what we just read. People tend to say, "Don't judge me. Don't judge me, okay? Who are you, okay? Don't judge me. The Bible says not to judge me. Don't judge me. That's none of your concern." And so in the 21st century, in the postmodern era that we live in, the greatest sin viewed by our society is intolerance, okay? So this passage is quoted very often by folks who don't understand the full weight of its meaning, and they sort of throw it into the face, maybe with those trying to help them, throw it in the face of those maybe who are trying to share Christ with them. And so it seems that this line, this passage in particular in Matthew 7, is sort of busted out like a trump card, okay, and just can be played as often and as frequently as they need to, anytime that someone tries to critique or correct them. And so maybe it's happened to you. Maybe you've been on one side of it. Maybe you've been on the other side of it. You've maybe seen this happen in some area, but these, so many different scenarios play themselves out. So you could go to someone and say, "Hey, I noticed that whenever you really start to get stressed out, you tend to turn to the bottle. You tend to really drink heavily when you're feeling that stress, whenever you're feeling that pressure. And I'm coming to you, I'm talking to you about it because I'm genuinely concerned." Okay, all right. Yeah, that's interesting. You said you're a Christian. Well, that's interesting, because if you read your Bible, you'd know that the Bible says not to judge me, okay? So, bam, gonna play that trump card on you, all right? Don't judge me. Or another scenario could say, "Hey, I noticed that when these people aren't around, you really seem to bash on them a little bit. You seem to really talk down on them quite a bit." Yeah, well, that's, how about you not judge me, okay? Boom, two of hearts. Take that to the bank, okay? Or, let's see here. "Hey, I noticed we've had these conversations, and I know what this person said to you. I know what they did to you. I know that you're really holding on to some unforgiveness. I know that you're holding on to some bitterness. Is there any way that I can kind of help you with that?" Well, first of all, you can help me by butting out, because it's none of your business. And secondly, bam, okay, don't judge me, okay? It's not your concern. Just butt out. And we could sort of keep going through this. It's like, "Hey, I noticed that you're sort of living in this lifestyle." And up, 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 up. Shh. Okay, how about you take two of these? Call me in the morning. No, in fact, take four and call me whenever you can stop judging me. And so we're quick to play that card. And we know people like this. It's like, bam, don't judge me. Bam, don't judge me. I mean, we got them coming in each direction. And if they're coming in droves, I mean, we can shoot them in just about anywhere that they're coming from. And some of you are thinking like, "Man, why is he shooting cards in the church? What's his deal?" Don't judge me too, okay? So either some of you, this becomes the cry of many when they don't want to be corrected. They're not interested in hearing what you have to say, what God has to say, what conventional wisdom might say, what general morality has to say. And lots of people don't want to hear it, because who wants to be told that they're wrong? Who wants to be told that they're bad? Okay, not many people do, okay? So it's become sort of this defensive stance to use when people are living however they want to, and they don't want to listen to your, they don't want your moral input, they don't want God's input, and they don't want any sort of course correction for their lives. And so the command to not judge or to judge, it quickly gets confusing whenever we begin looking at passages throughout Scripture, in particular Matthew 7, what we just talked about. So we just read Matthew 7, but if we look at 1 Corinthians 5:3, Paul says, "Even though I am not physically present, I am with you in spirit, and I have already passed judgment on the one who did this." And in this case, Paul is casting a judgment. He's making a judgment call on someone within the church, a sin that they have committed. So we sort of have already gone back and forth that says, okay, we should not judge, but now we should judge. We should make a judgment. We'll go back to the other side. Romans 14:13 says, "Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother." And so before too long, you can sort of get into this tennis match where Matthew 7, ha! 1 Corinthians 2, pa! Romans 14, ah! All right? So it can sort of go back and forth and back and forth, and we can get really confused if we don't understand what it's about and what they're saying. And I had a science teacher in junior high. He said that the difference between ignorant and stupid is that ignorance can be fixed, but stupid is forever. And he said that to me all the time, too. I don't understand why. But ignorance can learn, and many of us, we are ignorant on how to address this issue of judging, not judging, because we have been called to make disciples of Jesus Christ. That is our great commission, to go and proclaim the good news of Christ. And so while we go out and we say that yes, Jesus is good, yes, Jesus has saved us, we eventually broach the topic of sin. We approach the topic of that you have sinned, that I have sinned, and that sort of thing. And we sort of become a little afraid because we want to be labeled as loving and not necessarily judgmental. And so we don't exactly know how to do that. And our ignorance of passages like this sort of paralyze us, and it makes us ineffective because we don't necessarily know, okay, when do we speak truth? When do we not speak truth? Are we to keep our mouths shut? We don't want to be labeled as judgmental. And so some of that turmoil is brought up in us. And so, like I mentioned, it seems to go back and forth. Judge, don't judge. Judge, don't judge. But in Matthew 7:24, Jesus says tight sentence, he says, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with right judgment." So we see just in this really short verse that there is a right way to judge and there's a wrong way to judge. There's a right way to judge and a wrong way to judge. And a lot of the confusion of whether to make a judgment or not make a judgment is cleared up whenever you understand the context. Okay, and when you hear context, that means, okay, who said it? Why did they say it? Who are they saying it to? Why are they saying it? You got to ask yourself a lot of these questions. And so context is like this. If I go up to my 2-year-old daughter and I say, "You are a sweet little girl," agree with me that it's a lot different than coming up to Mark and saying, "You are a sweet little girl." Okay? Okay, one is a compliment of adoration. And the other is condescending and awkward too, right? So context is important. We have to understand the context. And so the passages that tell us that we should not judge, okay, are in the context of making hypocritical judgments, okay? While passages that encourage us to judge always have to do on things that God has spoken on righteous matters, on things that the Bible has put a word to. So Jesus says here, there's a wrong way, like in judging someone's appearance. Okay. And how many of us have been guilty of that at some point? Okay. Making judgments by appearances. Okay. We'll talk about that a little bit more. A wrong way and a right way. And Jesus spells that out more for us, and we see in Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is living and active." That's very powerful. It is living and active. It applies to us today. "Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow," and get this, "it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So who has the place to judge? Okay, God does, right? And in this instant, his word, the word of God, are his words to us. And so all of a sudden we see that, okay, God's word has a place to make judgment calls here and there. And so we also see in Proverbs 31:9, it encourages us to open our mouths and judge righteously. So wherever the Bible makes judgments and into whatever areas or topics the Bible speaks on, we can make judgments in those areas. We can give input. We can make judgment calls because the Bible has spoken on those areas. And so the Bible says, let's call sin, sin, because the Bible has made that clear distinction. And so if the Bible gives us pathways that leads us into life, we should try to follow those. If the Bible says, hey, you should really avoid this, then we can make that judgment call as well. And so we should be mindful of those things. We should be mindful of where the Bible speaks, but we should also be mindful of where the Bible does not speak. Okay, where we like to insert our own opinions, where we like to insert our own preferences, where we like to insert our own traditions. And so it could sort of look like this. I mean, you could be a mother and you have kids and you have a husband and you have your way of celebrating Christmas. You do a certain thing at Christmas and you do it a little bit differently than maybe other families do. And you start hearing about how they do it and you think to yourself, wow, what we do is way better than what they do. Oh, they must not love their kids as much as we do. I'm a way better mom than she is. Okay, we start thinking like weird things like that. And even thoughts of, you know, I come to church every Sunday and I put on this suit and my wife puts on her nice dress and this schmo up here wears his shirt tucked out, untucked every single week. I don't even know if he's saved or not. What is his deal? And so we can tend to make judgment calls like that. And a younger generation can be guilty of the exact same thing. A younger generation can say, they wear their suits, they wear their fancy dresses, and they're out of touch, they're out of date. I mean, they don't know that, you know, how much Jesus is my homeboy. They don't know how in tune I am with the Lord. And so both sides can be guilty of making these wrong judgments. We all can be guilty of making these judgments whenever we start looking at our own opinions, whenever we start looking at our own preferences and looking at our own traditions. Anywhere we are different from someone, anywhere that we have a disagreement with someone, it's easy to make that judgment. I was preparing for some of this last night, and I got to thinking about something else, and before I know it, I'd probably spent 15 to 20 minutes making hypocritical judgments about something that, you know, and I just totally forgot everything that I was talking about here. And so we don't even realize how much we do it. And so we've got to be aware of that. We got to be cognizant of that. And so let me see where we are. A good question would be, how many times have your preferences, your opinions, and all those, how many of those times have you been led into a critical judgment of somebody? I think if we spent about 5 minutes, we could all make a list of times that we have maybe spoken in an area that God hasn't spoken, and spoken where our preference is supreme, where our opinion is supreme, and our way of doing it is supreme. All right, so this is why Jesus goes a little further in Matthew 7. We'll go back to Matthew 7 and talk a little bit. But he says, do not judge. Let's go back to it. He says, do not judge, for you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? So it looks like this. You're kind of sitting close to me, so you kind of become the guinea pig for everything. But you've got this speck in your eye, and I come up to you and say, hey, I notice you've got an issue. Okay? All right. I'm sorry. Have you tried any Visine for that thing? Yes, no, maybe. All right, well, I've been told this helps for me, but if you take the top lid and sort of flip it over the bottom, that tends to sort of clear some of that dust out, and you'll get some of that, get rid of some of that redness. And also, if you sort of shake your head to the right and shake your head to the left, I hear that that will help out with that speck that you got there too. Okay, so blessings with that. I mean, I look like an idiot up here with this to my face, right? I mean, and this is basically what Jesus is saying. He's using a little bit of hyperbole here to try to bring home a point, and he's probably using some of his days as a carpenter as well. But this is the level of hypocrisy that Jesus is addressing, that we're trying to point out, that people are trying to make these judgments about others when they haven't even looked in the mirror and looked at their own problems, looked to see how much they are dealing with, looked to see how blind they really are. And so Jesus says this. He says, "You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." Now, this is interesting because Jesus isn't saying, take the plank out of your own eye and do not judge, but he's saying, take the plank out of your own eye and then go help. Okay, then maybe you can make that judgment call. Okay, so when exactly is it good and is it right for us to make those calls? I tried to put together a short list here that I hope is helpful to you. But we've already talked about, number one, matters where God has spoken. In the Word of God, He has given us clear distinctives of what is right, what is wrong, what is sinful, what is pleasing to God. Those are areas that we can speak on. Okay, secondly, when it comes to Titus 2 and Hebrews 13, talk about how we as believers should always discern biblical teaching. So anytime Eric's up here, anytime I'm up here, Dan is up here, you should always be hearing what we're saying, okay? Absolutely. But also testing that, saying, you know, Justin said something the other day that, I don't know, I think it was a little off base. I don't think it was in God's Word. I think he might have twisted that a little bit. And so you are called and encouraged to come to us and say, hey, you said this, but I think you meant this. Is that kind of how you did that? And so you, in that way, you are to make a judgment. But also, a third way, we are to make judgments concerning our brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, this is something that Paul encourages. And when you have joined a church, when you're part of a covenant community, you have invited each other. You have invited one another to speak into your life, to encourage you, but to also maybe point out some of your blind spots. And I know that never sounds fun. Okay, that never sounds fun for someone to say, hey, I kind of noticed this about you. Our tendency is to want to, you know, play that card as soon as we get it. But this is something that part of being a body of believers, something that helps us grow, something that brings us into a mature faith, because now, honestly, sometimes we can make irrational decisions. Sometimes we can make very emotional decisions, and we need the body. We need the covenant body of believers to sort of help us out and say, "Hey, I want you to rethink this. I want you to look at what the Bible says about this area that you're sort of talking about." And we need to remember something else though, that whenever Jesus was talking about the plank in the eye, okay, if we're going to go approach that person, what do we need to do first? We need to remove the plank. We need to look at ourselves in the mirror and realize, okay, I've got problems of my own. Okay, I am not clean before God. I've got issues of my own. And so you've got to look at yourself in the mirror, and you need to be in a position of repentance. You need to humble yourself. Okay, and with that, knowing that you are forgiven, knowing that the graciousness of God is with you, that is when you can go and approach that person in hope to try to help them, and hope to try to take that speck out of their eye. And so lastly, I put up here those outside the faith. And I put that up there not necessarily as far as making judgments, but to say this. In 1 Corinthians 2, it talks about the natural person and the spiritual person, how the spiritual person understands spiritual things because the Spirit of God is in them. And so they're going to understand things like the desire of God, the will of God, what God commands, how that can lead you to life, why you should do this, why you should do that. But the natural person, it says that they can't understand these things. They can't understand the things of God because the Spirit of God is not in them. And so what I'm saying is that while we can take stands, we can speak truth, we can talk about God's will and God's desire and all these things, I just don't know how helpful it will be to the unbeliever if we try to correct their behavior and sort of put them into this, you know, set them in line and set them in order. I don't know how helpful it is to try to do that until we first offer them Christ. Okay? And until we can first introduce them to Jesus and what he has done and how he saved us and how gracious he is and how good he really is. And how can they possibly know that unless someone tells them? How can they know that unless we tell them, unless the commands of God and the Great Commission goes and sends us out? Not to go out and to make judgments, but to go out and to bring them Christ. Because when they know who Jesus is, when they understand what he's done, that's when they have the Spirit of God. That's when they begin to understand where God speaks, what is sin, what is good, what is right, all these different things. And whoever you approach, whoever, if the Lord is sort of bringing something and putting on your heart, approaching a person, a believer, an unbeliever, in John chapter 1, it says that Jesus brought grace and truth. He brought grace and truth in that we should be able to approach people with grace in one hand and with truth in the other. Okay, not so much that not so much grace that we compromise on truth, but not a graceless truth that just wants to beat people over the head with what's right and what's wrong with you and all these different things, but to walk in both grace and truth. And listen, no matter what you do, in some instances, some people will receive that from you. Some people will hear what you have to say. But sometimes, no matter what you do, you can humble yourself. You can remove that plank. You can repent. You can say, Lord, help me. Help me say this to this person. Help them to receive it. And you can go to them with confidence and with humbleness and very lovingly try to help them. And some people just won't hear it. Some people will play that card on you. Some people will not hear a word that you have to say. And to that, Jesus goes a little further. And in verse 6 of Matthew 7, he says, do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. When you've done all that you know to do, whenever you've gone to somebody and they said, don't judge me, none of your business. Whenever maybe you've gotten a brother and sister of the faith and say, hey, we need to go to them again and we need to talk to them again. And it just, nothing seems to work. Whenever everything you know to do has just been exhausted, Jesus says, walk away. You've done what you can do. Pray that the Lord deal with them in another way. But we all know that there are different seasons of harvest. Sometimes some people lay the seed. Sometimes people lay down sort of an idea, the idea of Christ, where other people come along and over the course of a person's life. And much later do they understand who Jesus is. Much later do they grow in the area. Much later do they mature as a believer. But Jesus says, do what you can do and then put it to rest. And so, as we close out, I hope that this has been helpful. This is one of those messages that it's more trying to clear up the commands of God and what he's saying about judgments we should make, judgments that we should not make. And so I would ask you to reflect this afternoon, reflect this week on maybe some areas that you have made improper judgments, areas that you have leaned on your own preferences, your own opinions, and that sort of thing. I'd pray that you would look at yourself in the mirror and put yourself in a position of repentance, that you would put yourself in a place where you could repent, that you would humble yourself, and that you'd also be willing to maybe hear some of the words that people have to say. Maybe somebody comes up to you and says, hey, you know, Justin was talking about this, and I think this could be a blind spot for you. And you know, that you would be humble to hear that, but also, you know, take an account of who it is and what they're saying. You need to weigh that. Some people are off on that. Some people could be right on the money, but it's something to think about. But I also would pray that you would lovingly engage those around you, those who, if something's been eating at you for a while and you want to help them and you want to encourage them in some way, I pray that you would humble yourself, go to them, but also engage those who are outside of the faith. Hey, engage those who don't know Christ. And so may you have the courage to do and to say what is true, even at the price of potentially being labeled as judgmental. So let's pray. God, we thank you. God, you are the source of life. You are loving. You are gracious. You are good. You are so patient with us, God. Lord, throughout our entire lives, we go through this this maturity process, Lord. And God, just thank you for your patience as we grow closer and closer and closer to the image of your Son. And so, Lord, we pray that we can hold the Bible up. We pray that we can hold your Word up as a mirror, and we can measure ourselves to what you say. And when we do that, God, we see all the ways that we are broken, and we see all the ways that there is sin in us, God. But that doesn't just grieve us, but that also brings us great joy, because you have saved us from that sin. You have redeemed us from that sin, and we can walk in the newness of life. We can walk in victory because of the work that you have done on the cross. And so, God, help us to humble ourselves. Help us to have the courage to make the right judgments. And God, give us the grace, but also give us truth. Help us to walk with those in our hands so that we can bring others, that bring the grace and the truth of Jesus Christ to others. And we say all these things in Jesus' name.